And welcome into God's house, Long Meadow Church, dear brethren. And as it is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, of course, the sermon title has to reflect it, and it's called Please and Thank You. And our scripture lesson today comes from Ruth chapter 2, the first 12 verses. And so while you search for that, I thought an appropriate Thanksgiving story would be what we need. It seems an atheist had decided one Sunday morning to go out hunting. He was out hunting for rabbit, and as he was trudging along, suddenly came crashing out of the bushes a great big old grizzly bear set upon putting himself on the hunter. Well, the atheist hunter took off running, and he was running harder and harder trying to get away from this bear, and the bear was getting closer, and he turned a corner and he slipped on the side of the mountain and slid down and broke his leg and was stuck. And he could hear off in the distance the crashing as the bear was getting closer. And the man turned and looked toward heaven. He said, "Father, I have never been a God-fearing man. I am an atheist. But I fear for my life. And I was just wondering if you could do something to make that bear stop." And he looked up to see the bear running. And suddenly the bear came to a stop. And it kneeled down and it folded its little front paws like this. And looked over the cliff at the man and said, "Oh Lord, for these meal I'm about to receive, may I be truly thankful." Happy Thanksgiving. Ruth, chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink of water from the jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you have left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him out in prayer. Please pray. Father, as we come forward with this message, pray that it is strong. Pray that it is your words, not mine. That it comes forward and teaches and lifts us up and reminds us of what we have and what we have yet to come to us. It reminds us to walk daily and shine the light of Jesus to everyone. Father, make it strong within us and give us something to dwell on for the week to come. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Well, I guess I have to start with a story. more of a confession. I have come to confess to you all. How'd that sound? I have my dirty little... You're laughing, Aunt Mary. That was funny, right? I have my dirty little confession to make to all of you all. I am starting to look forward to the Christmas movie season. Now, let me be clear in my confession. I am not looking forward to all of the movies that I am going to be forced to endure because, and as my wife, Wendy will tell you, she does this to me when I don't want to watch one. Don't you want to spend any time with me? Ugh. So we have to sit and we watch these movies. And I can sum up all of the Christmas movies into 1 minute. Ready? I'm so alone at Christmas. There is no love for me. There's a fellow over here, or a woman, sometimes it's the reverse. There's someone over there that is hurting during the holiday. I will shine my love to them. They will fall in love with me. We will miss our signals, and suddenly our signals will come together on Christmas Eve, and we'll all live happily forever and ever. Merry Christmas! That is all Hallmark movies rolled into one. Tell me I ain't right. But, go ahead, get it out of your system. But, there is a Christmas movie that I get to watch that I have to force my wife to endure, and I get great pleasure out of it. Because a lot of the movies that I like, she likes, but she doesn't like this one. But I have to say to her, don't you want to spend any time with me? It's funny, because sometimes she'll say no. But there is a movie in which a man is determined that Christmas will come, that something has happened that is going to stop Christmas from coming, and that Santa Claus has finally decided it's time to retire. And the man that he has picked to take his place doesn't want to do it. He's afraid. And the man that is trying to save Christmas is working diligently to get the new Santa Claus in place. I'm talking about the classic movie that ought to be in the Library of Congress, Ernest Saves Christmas. Oh, boy, I struck a nerve there, didn't I? Know what I mean, Vern? I live to watch that movie. I live to watch that movie with my wife. Because my wife sits over there the whole time like this. And I'm so thankful that I get to spend that time with her while she goes. Because I'm not allowed to do that during the sappy movies. But in the middle of that movie, which you can laugh and giggle about, but the spirit and heart of that movie, in the middle of that movie, Ernest is finding this fella who taught a children's show about being good and being whole and being righteous and being thankful. He had a children's show. And when Ernest finds out that the man that's going to replace Santa Claus was the hero of that children's show, he sings the little song to him. The man had a song that he always ended his program with. And it goes like this. They never get old, they always seem new. Those three little words, please and thank you. And that song, that moment, has always been something I have treasured from that movie. Because those words never get old. Please and thank you. And we stand, of course this is going to be one of those sermons, right? Because we're right in front of Thanksgiving. And there are so many people in this world who forget what you have to be thankful for. They get caught up in things. I'm very guilty of it. I'm probably more guilty of it than most of you in this room. And we forget sometimes. There was a Scottish minister. His name was Alexander White. Spelled W-H-Y-T-E. If that ain't a Scottish spelling, I don't know what is. He was known for being uplifting and constantly powerful in his prayers. He was always putting out to be grateful, to be thankful. One Sunday morning, as it would be in Scotland, and I know because I've been there, the weather was gloomy and dark and dreary. One of the members of the church thought to himself, I've got him this Sunday. It's been this way now for 2 weeks. And as Alexander walked in, certainly the preacher won't have much to thank for the Lord on a wretched day like this, said the member to his wife. But White stood up there quietly and began praying. We thank thee, O God, that not every day is like this. Always being thankful. Always being thankful. And that is what is coming this day to our country. As we look off here in a few days, the Thanksgiving Day, we look toward Thanksgiving. And quite frankly, to all the naysayers, and I hope that there's a bunch of people out there on the internet watching this going, wow, he's just going to turn Thanksgiving and his sermon into something about Christianity. You're right. I am. Because that's what it's about. Now, some of you may have noticed that on Facebook this week, I promoted the fact that I have gotten a rather large turkey. And I am looking forward to the process of preparing that turkey to become part of our Thanksgiving meal. And my mother has allowed me to cook the turkey this year for our Thanksgiving meal. You have no idea what that means. That means if I foul it up.
Watch it.
Oh. I couldn't help it. That means if I foul it up, I'm never going to hear the end of it. And the next time I want to cook Thanksgiving, no. That's all right. I got my plan. I've done this before. But that's not what it's about. It's about being thankful for all the things that you didn't have, but you have. There is a young lady in our congregation who has something that she would like to read. And it is, when I was putting this sermon together, I knew about the background of this. And after she sent it to me to be read, I thought, this is perfect. So I would like to invite Jill Smith to come up. Jill Smith has a testimony she's going to give about what happened to her and her family during COVID, and the way the Lord blessed, and how thankful she is. Jill?
On March of 2020, the governor of Maryland mandated that all businesses were to close. As this progressed, businesses struggled to stay open. The barn was not opened back until 13 months later. Then, to make matters even worse, it would take another 3 months to get people to sign up for events, as the barn was an event facility. Now the barn is on the market, and I'm trying to figure out how to reinvent the barn. Even though all this COVID craziness, the one thing that stayed consistent is God's presence. Matthew 10:31 says, so do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And if you've ever been in a barn, even a barn that's in a facility, we have plenty of sparrows. And one always seems to find itself inside. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? I tell you this so that I can testify that God protects his children and does provide beyond measure. You have heard me testify that God always shows and reveals on the 11th hour, the 59th minute. I stand today to say, in physical ways, the Lord provides groceries, money, and services to my family. Some groceries appeared at the front door without any notification. And usually the groceries included food that we had just mentioned about that we were hungry for. But we were eating out of the freezer, so. But the food was there. Money right when it was needed. whether it was a health insurance credit, which we all know that's never heard of, or college overage reimbursements, or coming from a person that came to buy my truck, also decided to buy my Jeep. Both vehicles were bought and left the same day. Another was a person I had worked with 12 years ago, saw my cattle trailer for sale, and offered me the asking price because I had been a person of integrity years ago and believed that they could help me. Another, when my motorcycle was sold, I had a friend of a friend decide to tell a firefighter, and he bought it so that he could ride with his chief. It was the firefighter special edition Harley. Parents and family helping me with mortgage payments when there was no money coming in for the event facility. Mentally, he gave me a growing peace, and it was difficult at times. The days I sold my grandfather's coin collection and my dad's Civil War gun collection so that I could pay bills gave me lumps of tears in my throat. But God kept telling me that I was going to be okay. And that Tim and I just needed to be able to let all material possessions go. I sold thousands on eBay, which, by the way, two empty rooms in my house are really quite easy to clean. It was at times hard to see and accept that I had felt like I had failed. But God kept reminding me and Tim that our actions of the past would come back. An example of this was when a person I had lent money to about 20 years ago showed up with the following statement. God led me to give this to you when you had helped my husband and I when we needed health insurance payments 20 years ago. And now I want to give this to you. It ended up being another mortgage payment the day before I needed to pay it. As Christians, God and his salvation has become more evident and real. Possessions mean nothing. The freedom of empty rooms in my house is less to dust. The willingness to strip myself of wants and having new sight into what is God and what is not mine is very light now. I tell you all this because we need to remind each other that God provides and his actions are real and that our stories are what strengthen our faith. It is true, God is in control. COVID happened, and God used it to his glory with us. I wish to share this so you too can rest in his peace, because we know the winner. 1 Peter 5, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he will care for you.
Get it? As I started this sermon out, I wondered what scripture. I had read this, and I thought, there is something to be built here. I didn't realize it was going to come that fast. And as I began to dwell on what thanks meant, what those three words were, please and thank you, I was led to the story of Ruth in the field. Let's go back into that for a moment. We have to be reminded of who Ruth was. She was a Moabite from Moab, a foreigner in the Jewish land. Her husband had died, Naomi's only son. All the means of earning was gone. Gone in an instant. And Ruth was left with no husband and the prospect of nothing behind in the land of Moab. But Naomi had been so loving, so full, and so wonderful to her that she wouldn't leave. Even when all of the others had gone back, I will stay with you and I will care for you. I will go where you go. I will be where you are. I will leave everything I have behind. Please, let me come with you. And so she did. And we see the story. She gets stuck forward into a field picking up grain behind the harvesters. Now, for those of you that are not quite following along, this is the Bible. This is thousands of years ago. They did not use combines. They walked along with a cradle and scythe, and they cut that grain down. And as they would cut it down, because it was so dry, grain would fall out of the pods on the ground. Stalks would get away and fall away. And her job with the other women was to go along and walk, bent over, stooped over, picking up these measly portions so she may take care of Naomi. She had to give up everything in order to see the blessing of God. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you," they called back. And Boaz asks his foreman, "Who's that out there working?" "I don't know her. I've never seen her before. She has caught my attention." The foreman says, "She is the Moabitess. She's that woman that came over here from Naomi. She's Naomi's daughter-in-law, and she's here working in the field. She said, quote, 'Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.'" The foreman goes on to report, "She went into the field and worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter," because it was hot. It is Israel, after all. It is the desert. And Boaz, now being touched, led and directed by the Spirit, walked over to her and said, "Hey, stay in this field. Follow those men with those women. Drink from the jars of water. Do this in my house, in my fields, where I have great wealth." And she says to him, "Why are you doing this? I'm a foreigner. Why are you taking me into your love? Because I have seen what you have done for your mother-in-law. And I have seen the thanks that she has given you. And I thank you for this and ask that you be richly repaid. And this is how I can do it." It is a story that can be brought forth in any way you want it to. But let's think about it this way. As we walk toward Thanksgiving, as we look toward the day where the table is going to be spread, we have to be reminded of what was given to us, this country, this place to come and worship Jesus Christ. Why? Because we, brothers and sisters, we Gentiles are foreigners in His land. And yet, He gives us over and over and over again. You heard Jill's testimony. At every turn, every time when it seemed the darkest, there was something there. Please and thank you. You know, we often get mixed up in the fact that the first Thanksgiving was 1621 when the pilgrims had landed, right? And we all know that to be true. That's right. I have a friend who told me, I was yelping off the other day about things I want to do, places I want to go see in this country when I can finally get out and travel. One of them is in Minnesota, is the biggest ball of twine in the world. I got to go see that ball of twine. There's so many things I want to see. I want to go to Niagara Falls. I want to go here. I want to go there. And I was mouthing off about everything I'm going to do. And I said, and I am going to go see Plymouth Rock. And he said, "Don't waste your time." He said, "When you get there, you'll do the same thing I did when I got there." Yeah. Really? He said, "I'll bet you've turned up bigger rocks than that in your field." I still want to go see it. But that true Thanksgiving was in 1610 in Jamestown, Virginia. A lot of people forget about the pilgrims that landed there. And when they landed there in the winter of 1610, they had a group of 420 or so settlers. And by the end of that winter, it had been knocked down to 60, and it was falling away. The survivors prayed for help. They had no knowledge of what was going to happen. And that spring, a ship filled with food, supplies, and more from England arrived. And they had a moment of thanks. We need to say please. We need to say thank you. We need to know why we say please. We need to know why we say thank you. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." As we approach this day, let us be reminded that we have said please more times than not. We need to be saying the next part, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you took away, and thank you for what you gave me. When I have cried out to you, you have answered. And even though we may not see that moment here, because we were foreigners in a foreign land, because we were outcasts, because we were sinners, because we were wretched, because of all these things, He died for our sins to give us a homeland now and forever. And all we need to do is say, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. These words from 1863. "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, harmony has prevailed, except where in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well as iron and coal of the precious metals, have yielded more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased. Notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege and the battlefield in the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increases of freedom. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also to those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them, while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to His tender care all who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers, in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged. And fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of this nation and to restore it from division, consistent with the divine purposes, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, and the tranquility of the Union. Abraham Lincoln's 1863 Proclamation for Thanksgiving Day. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. And Boaz replied, I've been told about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you have left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Please and thank you. Let us remember, brothers and sisters, of the things that we have, of the material goods that we are. They are but a moment. They are but a wave of a divine hand that has given us much. And though at times it seems like we have lost our way, and though at times we have had to give up much, we are still blessed because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, you will be foreign to me no more, and gave his life for us. That, brothers and sisters, is for thanksgiving. Let us be so. Let us be remembered of it. Let us use those words, because they never get old. They always seem new. Those three little words, please and thank you. Thank you, Father, for everything you have given us. Thank you for this land. Thank you for this family. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. May I wish each and every one of you a happy Thanksgiving and fulfillment, and may you be blessed. Let us pray. Father, we are in front of you now, humbled. We have heard something that has touched our hearts, not just from the Scriptures, but where the Scriptures has come alive in one of your daughters. It teaches us, Father, that when we say please, be expectant of what will happen, and say thank you, and continually to be thankful and praise in our healing from sin through the precious blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this country, for this nation. We thank you as this day comes forward and are reminded. Watch over and keep us in all things, Father. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. As we come forward with this last song, if you are needing the benches open, I am here. As I've told you time and time again and will, on the other side of the camera, if you need someone, reach out to me or find someone close by and make sure you know our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.